The challenge in front of us is to build an essential tool that biologists need that produces the absolute best data possible, where they can ask questions that they never could before. They want to, but they can't because they're limited by the tools, and that's what we're signing up to deliver.
Welcome to ProCo 360's Pro Business Colorado. This is a show about entrepreneurs who can be successful anywhere and choose Colorado. I'm your host, Dave Tabor. Live, work, love Colorado is our tagline at ProCo 360. You and I love knowing that at any time we want, we can look west and see the mountains. I've hiked the incline with clients, and I've had a new team member accept a job offer on a chairlift. Oh, but we lovers of Colorado are often misunderstood and sometimes underrated. My mission is to promote Colorado as the home for innovative businesses and leaders. You can help. Subscribe to the podcast via your app and to the newsletter at proco360.com. In this episode, I'll be speaking with Kevin Ness, CEO of Inscripta. Inscripta has raised almost $85 million and is unlocking the financial barriers to gene editing innovation and giving it away for free. Seriously, I downloaded a DNA sequence from Inscripta's website just to see if I could. It's an interesting mission and business model we'll talk about after we talk more about just what Inscripta's gene editing technology brings to the world from right here in Colorado. Kevin, thanks for joining me on ProCo 360. Appreciate having you with me.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk about Inscripta.
Glad you're here. First, hey, we're going to jump in a minute. First, thanks to the show's sponsors, Community Banks of Colorado. They go big for small business. They've been committed to this show since it started, demonstrating their love for entrepreneurs. And MicroStar Keg Logistics. These guys are entrepreneurs for beer entrepreneurs. MicroStar is a Colorado-based company that helps craft brewers expand by handling the logistics of keg distribution. Okay, Kevin, let's dive into gene editing. And I think the probably easiest thing to do is think of the listeners as really intelligent people in the audience who don't know genetic engineering or anything about that. So tell us what that's about and then Inscripta's role in that world before we dig in deeper.
Sounds good. So maybe before I tell you how gene editing works, tell you a little bit about like why you'd even want to do gene editing.
Yeah.
Some of the kind of motivations behind this.
Sure.
It really is an amazing technology if you can kind of control the genome sequence. And gene editing is simply changing that DNA sequence to produce some sort of property that you care about in these living cells.
Well, there was this whole history of sort of decoding the genome, right?
Yep.
So are you taking us back to that?
Yeah, the Human Genome Project is a major component of trying to figure out what is important in the genome so that ultimately we can program the genome to produce things that we could use for society. Like, for example, we could engineer an agricultural system, change plants to be resistant to certain pests so you don't have to use pesticides. Mm. Or you could change the kind of output yield of a plant to produce more fruit or more crop per kind of square foot or acre. You could actually change plants to be more drought resistant or to grow at different latitudes. So you can put areas of planet Earth more amenable to growing food for our growing population.
Wow. And in humans?
Absolutely. You can go from, we just talked about feeding humans, you can go to energy, for example. You can, instead of collecting fossil fuels from the ground, you could imagine engineering a microbe to eat a tree to produce like a jet fuel precursor.
Wow. Wow. And in humans, I mean, we're using gene editing as ways to address, attack, cure diseases and so forth, right?
So that's the therapeutic side, which is also equally exciting to the food, energy, and now on kind of the healthcare side.
Yeah.
You can imagine there's an emerging space called immuno-oncology. It's fascinating, where you can take a patient's own immune system out, their B cells, T cells, use genome engineering to reprogram that cell to go target cancer. So literally almost making like a drug, a therapeutic, out of the patient's cells themselves. And all of this is possible with gene editing.
Well, okay, that's a great sort of high-level view of what gene editing is for.
Yep.
I would love to explore how gene editing is done. Is that even possible, you know, without being scientists in this audience?
Yeah, it sounds unbelievable in a way, the large applications that we just covered.
Yeah.
But gene editing can touch this. And if you look at biology, it is such a profound platform. If you think of biology as a a manufacturing platform. It does create things that can be used in agriculture, food. It does create things that can be used for energy, for healthcare.
But is it possible for a lay person to understand how gene editing is? I think I get the notion of why.
Yep.
We can improve our world. We can improve the processes involved in biology if we can figure this out. But is it possible for me to understand, even at a high level, how gene editing is done?
Well, let's see. Let me try.
All right. Give it a shot. Give it a shot. Because this is, so
if you kind of maybe even take a step back, look at the history, kind of how we got here.
There's
been a few waves, kind of four major waves of gene editing technology. And in each of these waves, people were excited about all the applications that could be done, but in a way that previous wave didn't really deliver the technology at the right scale and capability for it to be broadly used. So there was this wave in kind of the 2000s, meganucleases that came through, and then TALENs and zinc finger nucleases. So these
sound like good band names, but
every like 5-10 years, one of these new potentials pops through.
Like a wave of technology?
Like a wave of technology, but it didn't materialize. It wasn't truly usable by the masses. Now, there's a recent wave that just came out of nowhere, and it's called CRISPR, all right? And so that's what we're going to talk a lot about.
That's
that
an acronym.
Inscript is doing. It's an acronym that stands for Clustered Regularly Interspersed Palindromic Repeats.
All right.
Kind of a mouthful, but CRISPR is actually kind of cool.
Okay.
And so this, what that is biologists went and studied the bacteria and microbes' immune system, how they fend off viral infections. And they actually found that nature has developed a mechanism in these bacterial systems to cut DNA very precisely. And that's basically what this CRISPR technology is. So scientists said, hey, can we take a bacteria's immune system, components of that, and apply it to, instead of cutting viral infections, can we have it cut very precise parts of the genome that we want to do genome modifications to? Really science fiction type stuff. And the excitement of CRISPR is that it really is going to, I think, allow a lot of the applications that have been built up over the last 20 years where people wanted to do certain things but never had the capabilities will actually unfold with this wave if a few things get done to improve the technology. More people have to get access to this because there's a lot of people who don't get access to these molecular scissors. And then in a way, we got to improve the performance.
Well,
and Inscript is trying to address those two specific things.
All right. So access to what you call as genetic scissors, right? So genetic scissors aren't mechanical in any way. They're chemical-induced cuts. Is that right?
Yeah, there's a protein, actually. So within CRISPR, there is a protein that will precisely go to a certain part of the genome that you can control with this thing called a guide RNA. And by changing that guide RNA sequence, you can say where this molecular scissor will go to the genome, and it basically cuts it. Think of it that way. And what that does is creates is called a double-stranded break, of which cells don't like double-stranded breaks. They try to repair it. And in that repair process, we can further engineer the cell by precisely putting in a new unique sequence.
Okay,
and that right there is gene editing because you just changed the initial sequence.
Because you've split it, and then when the cell repairs itself, you're helping it decide how to repair itself to behave differently.
Exactly.
Wow. Exactly at a very high,
Did we do it?
I think maybe we did. So now, give an example of something that you're seeing in the near horizon where this technology is being applied to human good.
Again, I go back to the applications are profound. We at Inscript really think that this is probably one of the most exciting breakthroughs of this young century. That's how important this tool is, all right? But for it to truly materialize and put all the benefit that we think it can, we've got to solve this access and performance problem.
And that's a really interesting thing because, by the way, if you, I want to remind listeners that I'm speaking on ProCo 360 with Kevin Ness, CEO of Inscripta, a Colorado company unlocking the financial barriers to gene editing innovation. And that's sort of this this idea is that what Inscript is doing is making this technology accessible in a way that really must infuriate your competitors. Explain your model.
So it's interesting. We believe that even though this CRISPR is an amazing technology, more research needs to be done, significant amounts of research. And that research not being done is driven by this access and performance problem. So the access, if we focus on that first and what our solution was, the access is certain fields have been exclusively licensed where people with great ideas cannot work in that space because they can't get access to some of the IP.
The inventor of these initial technologies has said, we own it. If you want to use it, you come through our door and write us a check.
Yes, and a big check.
Yeah.
And they've already exclusively given it to certain fields, so think of those as blocked. Hmm. And new ideas, new entrants can't get into it.
So things like cancer research around genetics might be owned
by a certain company, and then the other ideas around that can't do research in that area. Okay, and so that's a problem. The other areas that at least you can get access to, you have to write that big check. High upfront licensing fees and back-end royalties.
Just to do the research.
Yes. And the restriction is getting access to these really important molecular scissors, these enzymes or proteins that do the precise cutting. So Inscripta actually uncovered its own unique set of enzymes that we had in the development of our tools, and we decided to give them away for free. So we could directly solve the access problem. This way it gets a lot of the great ideas that are on the sidelines into the game.
Yeah. So there are probably hundreds of thousands of scientists that would love to be in the game. They don't have the access and don't have maybe the money to go ahead and license those in the old model. So you're doing kind of what Linux computer software did, right? You're saying, look, it's out there now. Now it's crowdsourced as far as improvements and research and all that, right? You're giving it away to unlock these avenues to development.
You got it. So that ultimately our goal here with this is to create more genome editors. Hmm. That's like step one and why we put this out there. Again, we feel this is such a profound technology that can help feed, fuel, and heal humanity. And by having great ideas not in the game, not being done, is a disservice to us as kind of a species.
Yeah. Now, go ahead.
Yeah, so we gave that away. We did this back in December. And like I said, we wanted to create more genome editors because that feeds into the performance.
I have to add, I want to let you continue, but I have to interject my amazement. When I was on your website and you click the button that says download the gene sequence, and I downloaded it, and there were like 3,700 characters of, various, and I didn't know what to do with it, but I was actually, it's kind of an amazing thought to think now on my computer, I have the genome sequence.
I love the fact that you went and did that.
It's crazy.
Since December, many, many, many people have done that, and we've helped enable a lot of scientists that do know what to do with that sequence.
Yes, thank you. Thankfully, there are some.
To start to get in. And previous academic researchers have had access to these molecular enzymes, but what's so unique about what we did is we're giving this to all commercial R&D also.
Wow.
Which really is going to enable a lot of product lines and opportunities to go forward. Now, we chose, in a way when we did this, people said, yeah, but what's the fine print? Is this really free? Tell me the truth. And, full disclosure, here's the three cases that are not for free. Mm-hmm. We fought really hard to find this enzyme and to find the kind of get it to work and the important performance that we're giving away for free. We said if people take that exact sequence and don't do anything but basically just resell it, there'll be a low single-digit royalty, a fraction of what people charge now. If they use it in a reoccurring manufacturing process, again, the exact enzyme, or they put in a reoccurring therapeutic. Yeah, those are the only three cases.
Yeah, but nothing that would discourage innovation using your tool. Nothing.
Exactly.
It's interesting. What comes to mind, and it's a completely different world, but there's a company in Fort Collins called Luzbot or Lootsbot, and they're a 3D printing company. And basically what they say is, look, here's the product, here's the software, and they open it up to crowdsource innovation using their platform.
Yep. Yep.
And the amazing innovation that's developed through their customer base really just spurs their company to greater and greater things. And by opening it up, they're blowing the doors off.
It's fascinating that you brought up a 3D printer because the analogy breaks down a bit. But you can think of what we're doing in Inscripta with our second solution to solve the performance problem is in a way creating a 3D printer, but for single cells that kind of prints life.
It's pretty amazing. And going back to my introduction, Inscripta raised $85 million in venture funding for a company that, you know, you're giving everything away. So I wonder how that conversation went with the VCs saying, hey, we want $85 million and we're going to give away everything you just bought.
So luckily we have really good investors that are kind of probably some of the top investors in the entire space. One of the lead individuals who drove the Series B that we did last year and obviously came along and influential in the Series C is Venrock. They're well known within the space. They started a few companies you might have heard of. Intel.
Yeah, well, I've heard of them, yes.
Uh-huh. Another one, they started Apple. Pretty big plays.
Yeah, yeah.
And more localized now to the kind of sector that we're talking in. They also started a company, Illumina, that has 90% of the world sequencing capacity.
So these are smart investors that understand and they must have understood clearly, right? Or they wouldn't have written this big check. So
they see the long-term potential here of creating this kind of 3D printer equivalent for biology so we can custom write cells.
Yeah.
And they recognize that we can solve the access problem by giving away the enzyme. It's called MAD7 mm-hmm. is the one we put away for free.
I see that all over your website, yeah.
So that we gave away for free. The revenue's not going to come in there mm-hmm. other than those three corner cases. But that's not a major driver.
The major driver
is going to be the second play that we're going after, which is ultimately Inscripta is here to build tools for biologists to do gene editing. And that's really the holy grail when we deliver. It's a full suite of gene editing tools that's instruments, software, and reagents that all play together. And by releasing the enzyme, we created more genome editors so we could have more customers
So you're seeding the world, the scientists of the world, with everything they need to use your products and services to expand the science of gene editing.
Yep.
So it sounds like, I mean, the total win-win environment, right? And unless they actually do something where they're making money, there's no royalty due to you. So everybody wins.
Correct.
Through this whole process. I'm your host, Dave Tabor. This is ProCo 360's Pro Business Colorado. I'm speaking with Kevin Ness, CEO of Inscripta. Please visit ProCo360.com where you can subscribe to my newsletter for episodes like this, my blog, and books I'm listening to on Audible. Again, that's ProCo360.com. Please share this show with your friends. Before I switch gears, we're going to talk about Colorado and Inscripta mm-hmm. in just a moment. Kevin, you really have unlocked this whole community of researchers gathered around your technology. Can you think of some specific examples that you could celebrate as saying, wow, they are using my technology and it's really working?
So CRISPR is being used right now to change the diagnostic space where you can go use this ability to precisely chew up DNA to almost do like sample prep. You can enrich a sample for the targets you care about and kind of knock down the background. So diagnostics is changing.
So anything you can pin to a specific researcher or effort where you can say, wow, that's great use of our tools.
Absolutely. There's many, many researchers that are using the MAD7 as a tool, the enzyme itself, the full suite of gene editing tools that solve the performance issue, the instrument software reagents we haven't released yet. So that's coming soon, you know, very soon. Stay tuned. That's the reason why Inscripta is really here.
Okay, so Kevin, I saw recently there was a press release that seemed like it was sort of like, here's where we're going. Talk about that.
Yeah, so we put this enzyme back out in December, and kind of over the last 8-ish months, we've gotten tons of people downloading that sequence and using it, but we kind of heard two major themes of questions. Mm-hmm. There was, hey, great, we love it, but does it work in mammalian systems? And then also, do you have any patents?
Any what?
Patents.
Patents. I got it, yeah.
So over with this press release you're talking about now, we basically tried to answer those two major questions. Mm-hmm. We showed that this worked in mammalian systems. This was independently verified by outside firms using this. And I think one of the quotes even in the press release was from John Moore, Horizon Discovery, who bought Dharmacons, a major player in this. So we had them independently test this enzyme, and they are very excited about it. Mm. And you can read John's quote. I don't recall it exactly.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, this has got tremendous potential for the future.
Oh, that's great.
And we're hearing that left and right from the people who are downloading and using it. So we're excited on that front.
Fantastic.
And then we also announced, you know, I can get up here and state that we have novelty in our MADzyme family, mm-hmm. but it's better for me just to repeat the U.S. Patent Office actually stating the novelty. So we announced two patents that basically highlight the novelty of the use of MADzymes in gene editing systems.
Perfect. And so when the Patent Office says you got to go, then it must make you you and your investors and your users feel much more confident out in the marketplace. So let's I am going to shift gears now, because one of the things that's so interesting to me and exciting about Inscripta is that here we have this world-class gene editing technology company based in Colorado. And you've got specific views about – let's talk about Colorado.
So I was nervous. I lived my whole life in California. Been here for about a year, a little over a year. And I was afraid to leave the best state, or so I thought. I was living there. I've fallen in love with Colorado. The fact that the Rocky Mountains is my backyard is beautiful. And the fact that I get to work on some of the most like elite science and best ideas in all the life science space here in Colorado is truly special.
Well, and you wrote a blog, Four Reasons Why Boulder is the New Innovation Hub. Why did you write it, first of all?
I believe it. I think the opportunity of what we're doing at Inscripta is one of the most profound endeavors that has ever been undertaken to deliver the best tools to biologists. Hmm. And the fact we get to do it with the quality of life that I've experienced since I've been here. It's a slight shift from what I experienced on the coasts.
Yeah.
There's just like a level of a grind without a deeper, fulfilling life that I'm now getting here in Colorado, but I get to work on some of these, you know, awesome, exciting issues. And so I wanted to kind of put that out there because there is a perception that if you're not in at least my industry, in the life science kind of biotech space, if you're not in San Diego, San Francisco, or Boston, there's nothing really going on. And the reality is completely opposite to that. Inscripta is doing it. We have a location in San Francisco also, but headquarters is here in Colorado. Reason is because some of the technology came out of Colorado University, some of the initial IP that we've secured to help drive this innovation.
Well, and you've got four reasons. One of them had to do with the innovation ecosystem. Talk a little bit more about that, because it's not just one university, is it, or just one specific scientist?
There's a tremendous talent pool. And believe it or not, this is actually my third company. The first company, the main mentor that I had, a gentleman, Mike Manise, is actually in Boulder, Colorado. Mm. So it's weird how things have come full circle. He helped support QuantaLife, which did digital PCR. He was one of the first investors in my second company, 10X Genomics. Mm. And he's got a tremendous team around him on the business front that supports. They're actually also investors in Inscripta.
That's cool. Now, you've also referred to the Boulder lifestyle in this blog, and you've referred to it a little bit even during this interview, how much you enjoyed it, and it's different. The Boulder lifestyle, the Colorado lifestyle, has been criticized too. Will people really work? Will people be as focused to achieve great things? What's been your experience?
If you find the right people, absolutely. And you put something of kind of the ambitious scale that we are in front of the right hungry scientist, yes, you can get that. What I'm also seeing is I can attract talent, not just from the coast, but also from the world. We're having people from international quit their jobs and move into Boulder because the scale of what Inscripta's idea is. And they're frustrated with that daily grind, that they want more experience. So if I would have had Inscripta only in San Francisco, some of the great people that I've attracted to Boulder wouldn't have jumped.
Wow. Well, that's a pretty profound statement, because we so often really do hear that the big entrepreneurial things are elsewhere, and you're saying that there is a...
absolutely not true in our space.
Well, I'm so glad to hear about it. And how about the quantity of talent available to you? Are you finding world-class scientists here now, or are you really bringing them into you, attracting them now because of the great work you're doing?
You need both. I need to attract, collect what's here and simultaneously bring in from the outside.
Now, ultimately, for a company built with a model like yours, like Inscripta, where you're giving away technology and spurring community use, I mean, ultimately that has to come from sort of an inner sense of generosity, or at least a faith that it will all sort of work out, you know? And what shaped that belief system for you?
Internally in Inscripta, and we talked about this a lot, do we give this away for free? And we felt as a company that's building tools for the entire gene editing space, that it was part of our obligation to help support this emerging bioeconomy. And by hoarding these tools and exclusively giving them just a certain space wasn't the correct way to deal with the technologies that is so profound, that can do so many good things from society. So in a way, being good stewards of this bioeconomy, we put our money where our mouth is in putting this out for free.
Because it does seem that even though there might be skeptics or cynics saying, oh, you're putting it out there so it all comes back. In my experience, in my career, unless you have sort of a generous, collaborative mindset, mm-hmm. you just can't let go of something that you own. And so I think it speaks differently than Scripta.
Yeah, this is universally by the entire employee base. And we discussed this at length within the company. Obviously, you mentioned the investors. It's one voice in here, but there's also the culture and the company that we're creating. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we in Scripta really do believe that gene editing can do many things for society. And we need to get more research done.
So have you found those areas. Have you found, I mean, what I'm thinking now is that there – in order for this to succeed over the long, like a long time,
yep.
you're seeding the market, you're building a market. And so, but, you know, we hear that a lot of times venture capitalists want a 5-year payout or they mm-hmm. want a 7-year, the longest payout, kind of a thing. Is this a longer game in your world? And are your investors and are your employees signed up for the long game on this?
I fundamentally believe they are.
Because
if not, this is a long-term play. We're looking to build the best tools for biologists.
Because if all of a sudden in 3 years or 4 years your investors come back to you and say, you know, couldn't you just take this piece and start charging, you know?
I mean, we have long-term mindset investors that see the big game here. Yeah. And it really is to supply tools to all of biologists to kind of accelerate the discovery process of mm-hmm. learning genotype to phenotype.
That's got to be gratifying. I mean, you know, ultimately you're going to make a ton of money as long as the market accepts. And,
yep.
and if you're successful in fertilizing the marketplace and stimulating research and all that, everybody wins. And
the challenge in front of us is to build an essential tool that biologists need that produces the absolute best data possible, mm. where they can ask questions that they never could before. They want to, but they can't because they're limited by the tools. And that's what we're signing up to deliver. And that's our solution to the performance problem.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of take CRISPR to the next level.
Is that where that $85 million comes in? Because ultimately, it's going to take years for you to actually make money. And if you don't have tens of millions is a war chest to keep doing R&D, you couldn't succeed, I wouldn't think.
Yes, if you go back when we say tools, it's not really a sexy word, but when you embed it or break it apart into instruments, software, reagents, these are complicated, multidisciplinary products. And to build this whole system to tie together, it takes a lot of money. You have to hire the best, the world's best in all the different disciplines and domains.
Well, speaking about different disciplines, even more broadly, because you and I have talked about how difficult it is even for you to explain what you do to people who aren't scientists, right?
Which we try.
So, yes, we have. And so as you think about that broader world, are there books you read, places you go, things you think about to help keep you having a broader view of the world than through a microscope, essentially?
Yeah, so the team, I think, is the biggest thing I tried to focus on, and how to make sure that these different groups really function and work well together. When you're building, again, these multidisciplinary products that have instruments, software, reagents, like a true system, mm-hmm. almost like a real platform, it's hard to get teams who are, PhDs from the top universities across the world. They all trained in different language. How do you get them to communicate well? So there's a recent book on tape, actually, that I'm listening to on the drive-in from my home to work. I think it was called The Advantage. Mm. And it talks about organizational health trumps everything. And I think that's a key area to lead startups, that you need to consistently focus on the team.
Well, I think that's probably a good place for us to wrap. And it's been a real pleasure to talk about gene editing with Scripta. And I'm your host, Dave Tabor, on ProCo 360. And I've been speaking with Kevin Ness, CEO of Scripta, a Colorado company unlocking the financial barriers to gene editing innovation. It's a cool model. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yeah, I'd encourage the listeners to go to Scripta. Is it Scripta.com?
Exactly.
And download the genome sequence. It, I don't know why, it just felt strangely empowering. So
do it. If you're interested, reach out to us. We're hiring in all areas.
Oh, well, that's good to know, too. And again, to my listeners, thanks for joining me on ProCo 360's Pro Business Colorado. This is Dave Tabor. My mission is to feature world-class entrepreneurs who could be successful anywhere and choose Colorado. You can help by subscribing to the ProCo 360 podcast via your app and reviewing the show, and by subscribing to the ProCo 360 newsletter at ProCo360.com. Thanks again to show sponsors MicroStar Cake Logistics, Community Banks of Colorado, and Jones and Keller, and to my producer, Kyle, here at Side 3. Appreciate it. This show and past shows are available at ProCo360.com and via your favorite podcast.